This is The Beat with Mike Wesson, with news, opinion, and culture. Available wherever you podcast and thebeatmedia.com.
Emmaline, you're a girl and girls can't draw cars. Those were some of the words that motivated a young black girl to draw cars. From Detroit to California and Europe, and a career later, she showed boys and the world that girls can draw cars. Our guest is transportation designer and author Emmaline King. Welcome to The Beat. Jumping right into it, you started in Detroit, Michigan. Were you able to, being that is, you know, the Motor City, the car capital of the world, were you able to understand and see that even as a young girl?
Well, was the nucleus around this was at the age of 11. My father, Reverend Ernest O. King, he was a fabrication specialist, and he worked at the design center there in Dearborn, Michigan, for okay. Ford. And it was during the company Christmas party that he said, "This is going to be a very special day for you. I'm going to show you where I work, and in particularly where cars are designed." Now, I'm going to jump back. At the age of 5, on Saturdays, my father and I would often go to a famous black sculptor here in Detroit, Mr. Oscar Graves. Hmm. He would take me to the studio, and the studio just smelled of clay. I was so intrigued with the smell of clay, and Mr. Graves even took time to show me how to make a little toy car okay. out of clay. And my father was like, you know, he would work making molds off the sculpture piece. Now, fast forward, as I said, my father was taking me to a special area, and so as we walked down this long white corridor, I noticed a set of blue doors. The closer I got, I smelled clay. Mm-hmm. I said, "Dad, I want to go behind here. I smell clay and see what's behind the door." And my father told me, "No, number one, you're not an employee, but I will tell you what's behind that door." He said, the smell of clay is the model cars that are behind the door. And he said, "But I want to tell you, everything starts in the mind of transportation designers, because behind those doors are men, and they come up with these concepts, and then those concepts are turned into clay models. Then they go down to my father's shop. He makes the fiberglass mold, then the car goes through a whole process." Mm. And then from there, you know, they're there for the dealership. Now, the connection with the clay, smelling the clay, and my father telling me the whole process of the whole process of how cars were designed, I knew at age 11 three things that I was on the quest to do, and that was become a transportation designer,
okay.
work for Ford, and build designing cars. Now, when I was, I was in Kine Elementary School.
Kine Elementary.
And so I think they had a show and tell, and I brought my little clay car and a picture of a car I drew, and I shared this with my math male teacher. I told him my dream immediately. He went enraged. "Emmaline, you're a girl, and girls do not draw cars." He told me, "Take my little hands, make them useful by becoming a nurse, a secretary, or a librarian. But you will never become a car designer." But he didn't know that my father had planted that seed,
yes.
and he was there to support me as well. At the age of 5, he bought me a Mustang rocking horse.
Hmm. Wow. So Dad took you to work, said, "Now, you don't work here yet, but there are some things that we can show you." And I was going to say, little did he know, but it sounds like Dad knew very well what he was doing. This is The Beat. I'm Mike Wesson with news, opinion, and culture, available wherever you podcast and thebeatmedia.com. Our guest is Emmaline King, transportation designer, and we are getting into the background of how she started, the seeds that were planted by her father. And there are so many directions right now we can go, but I want to get more into Dad's background. You mentioned he was a minister.
Yes, that it was a minister. Once I decided of what I wanted to become, I set out on that quest. And Daddy assisted in, you know, choosing the right type of school, for both my parents, the right type of school that would enhance my talents. Because immediately after I would come home from school, I would do drawing. So Daddy noticed my talents. He shared that with a group, special group of black car designers, engineers, clay modelers at the design school. And they were impressed, so they would often send Daddy home with supplies for me to enhance my skills even more. I did a drawing, I think it was of a 79 Cadillac. Mm. Yeah, 79 Cadillac. Showed it to my junior high school teacher, and she recommended that I go to the top school in the city, which was Cass Tech. Mm-hmm. Went to Cass Tech. You know, I was in the commercial art department. Two important things about the art school. I won a poster contest. It was the U.S. Stock Exchange poster contest, and my theme was job equality for males and females in the workplace.
Okay.
So once she saw that, she said, well, I'm going to recommend you to go to Cass. So I went to Cass. After I graduated from Cass, it was on to Wayne State. Now, the important thing about Wayne State University is that in the morning, I would take my academic classes. In the evening, Ford Motor Company would send some of their designers to teach transportation design class. So I was really being just filtrated with in the world of transportation design, because not only was I getting mentoring from some of the black car designers, mm-hmm. I also was still being mentored by Mr. Oscar Gray. So when it came time to graduate from Wayne State, ready to go out and show my portfolio. Now, Ford was my number one where I wanted to be interviewed, but I thought I'd test the water by going to GM. Unfortunately, it didn't work out with GM, because when I showed them my work, they like said, oh, did this stuff come out your head? And they would tell me, well, the economy's so down, we're not hiring, even though they looked at my portfolio. I was in one room and the portfolio was in another room. I thought that was strange. But anyway, so that did not happen. So the next route was to the interview at Ford. This was the first time I had interviewed with Ford. Unfortunately, that got off to a bad start, because personnel looked at my work and they said, oh, no, these drawings did not come out your head.
So I sense a pattern. They're saying these drawings did not come out of your head. What are they saying with that?
Well, they're saying there's no way that you could have thought or created concepts. Mm. A lot of my drawings were like 5 and 10 years ahead of time that I was showing them.
Okay.
And they didn't really believe it. And it so happened that on that interview, my father was there. So after we left, I was like, oh, man. So I knew my dad could just do anything. So I asked my dad, can he talk with the president of Ford, Mr. Jack Talnack, get me an interview with him? And my father worked it out. Now, the good thing was I showed Mr. Talnack my work, and he did verify that the economy, you know, was down, and Ford put a freeze on hiring. But he said, I'm going to recommend that Emily go to one of the top colleges. And this is where a lot of the executives had their training. Well, number one, it was such an expensive school. I mean, really, you know, you had a lot of the movie stars there. Their children went there. As far as tuition, it would have took two arms and a leg just to pay it. But it so happened, my father called down to the school, and he let them know that Mr. Talnack had referred me. Well, back then, portfolios were usually the size of 18 by 24.
Okay.
I always wanted to make an impression, so I would draw, you know, cars 30 by 40, which was way super large. So when my father told the administration that he's calling about, you know, getting his daughter in the school, they hadn't even seen my work, but they mentioned to him, oh, well, the size is too big. There's no way that she will be accepted. my father, he would not take that. He said, I will bring her down there. He said, you have not even seen her work. And I'm sure Mr. Talnack would not have referred her if he didn't think she was talented enough to attend. Daddy flew me down there. We both went. The department heads looked at my portfolio, and it was less than a couple of minutes where they were telling me, your work is outstanding. We're going to have to even give you advanced standing. I went through the whole process, and then after I graduated, I told the director that I made a promise to Mr. Talnack I would attend here, but on one condition, that when I graduate, I'd be interviewed by him.
Right.
Well, it so happened that for graduation there at the school, it was known to have all your executives from all these companies come in and review our portfolio and hire us. But I kept my promise, and I told my director, well, I promised Mr. Talnack, I wanted him to interview me. And my director was saying, well, you blew it, Elaine. There's no way you're going to get hired. So I did fly back here to Detroit, and I was hired then.
And so you've done domestic, if we can say, you worked at Ford in Detroit, and almost immediately, at least quickly in your career, you were in Europe designing.
I was in Europe within a year,
designing in Europe. Was there a highlight? Was that your first time out of the country? What impact did that have on you?
The furthest I had been was Little Rock, Arkansas, for our family reunion.
Okay.
It was so funny because, you know, when I started driving, I think my first car was a Mustang Capri, and it was a stick.
Okay.
I didn't know how to drive a stick, so I left it sitting in front of the house until I could get enough nerve to drive. Well, you know, the first time you drive, you're going to buck, buck, buck. And so every time I get in the car, everybody would say, oh, we get in that car trying to learn how to drive. And so it just kept bucking until I got the feel of it. And then I was able to drive it.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm glad you shared that, your first car. That's interesting and important, particularly in this interview, and especially since the Mustang would play an important role in your career. Now, I say that, but now looking among all the things that you've done, we'll touch on the 94 car of the year, the Ford
uh-huh.
Mustang,
yes,
and your
yes.
and your part in that. When you bought that Mustang as your first car, so the Mustang, this goes back to childhood. The Mustang, the Ford Mustang specifically, is an important car to Emmeline.
Oh, yes, definitely. That's an iconic American pony car. And, wow. And you remember the connection when I told you about my father at the age of 5 bought me the Mustang rocking horse, which I still have today?
Yes.
The connection is just mind-boggling that I would later on make a dramatic impact in the automotive industry via the Mustang and me being an African-American car designer.
Yeah, and so with that, you design, it's the interior of the 1994
right.
Ford Mustang.
Right, I designed that. But the story behind that,
mm-hmm.
remember when I was mentioning about I wanted to also be a part of management, because at that time,
yes, thank you.
They had every ethnic group was in management. Now, they didn't have another black female because I was the only one. Another thing is I met, my coworker was Mr. McKinley Thompson.
Okay.
Mr. McKinley Thompson was the first African American male car designer, and he attended Art Center.
Okay.
So he made management. I'm saying, okay, he's the first black male. I said, I come along, I'm the first black male female. But I'm designing these cars that mm-hmm. are very profitable for Ford. Surely I need a seat at the table, because I've watched people. I watched my co-workers zoom up that corporate ladder so in the blink of an eye. And then at 1.4, started hiring in other ethnic females. And I watched them just shoot up the ladder. So I had that kind of weight on me of wanting to get promoted. But I'll share this. It so happened, I went to one of the executives and confided in him and told him, what is the problem? Why isn't it that I can get a seat at the table? And he was so kind and generous to share with me. And he said, I'm going to tell you exactly what needs to happen. And he said, management need to relate your face and your name with a hot project. I said, that's beautiful, but Emmeline King was never selected. He told me to be patient, and within a week or two, it was announced that Ford was going to redesign the 1964 Ford Mustang. When I heard that, I ran out to the management and said, please, I need to be on this. I know I have something to contribute to this. So they started looking at me like, what is this black lady? What can she contribute? And I said, there's been a problem ever since Ford, the males have started designing cars. Everything caters to a male. I said, all these vehicles have, you know, they don't cater to female. I wanted to design it around the female market. Yeah. I said, as far as the interior, the knobs and switches are so rough and sharp, they'll break a fingernail. The way the seats are designed, we'll rip a skirt.
Yeah.
So it's all masculine, but I said, give me this opportunity, and not only will this vehicle cater and influence the female market, but it will still have that masculinity to
okay.
it. And I was able to do that. I became the face. Management knew whenever you heard Mustang, Emmeline King.
Hmm.
But you know what? It still wasn't enough to get me a seat at the table, because every male that worked on that vehicle along with me made management.
Okay.
And I got transferred out. And like I said, that Mustang in me, car of the year, I was in every magazine, every radio, every TV.
Yeah.
You know, I was Mustang Emily.
Mustang Emily. We love it.
Yeah.
So,
and that was the highlight. That was the highlight. And then everything took a nose draw.
Mm.
Ford moved me out of the design sector over to marketing. Then eventually in July 31st, 2016, they gave me involuntary company separation.
Okay.
And so I was no longer an employee. Now, I was so afraid to tell my father. It took me several weeks before I got a nerve and told him. And do you know when I finally told him? The first day he said, go let your mother know. She gave me encouraging words. One door closed, another one will open. I went back to the house, and he said, meet me in the family room. And he stood there, and he took that little finger, and he pointed at me. He said, did you keep your promise? I said, yes, I did. All those years, I had documented every assignment, every place where I've been, every award, everything that I did. And he said, by him being a Baptist pastor, he said, now the Holy Spirit revealed she must write her book so the world will know her story.
Okay.
And that's what I did. And my title
yes.
reflected back to what the teacher had told me. And my title was, what do you mean a black girl can't design cars? And then King, she did it. The book traveled everywhere.
Yeah.
The book is now housed in the White House, the Library of Congress, the Henry Ford Museum, the Black African American Museum, all over.
Wow. This is...
And it has even carried as far as, I'm sorry, in 2024, I was bestowed the the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Gold Medal from President Biden.
Yes.
And Vice President Kamala Harris. And I gifted and autographed them each one a copy of my book, which is under their administration in the White House.
Okay.
And the book, my story is being told.
It is being told. And this is about 25 years you spent at Ford, correct?
Well, they gave me 24.99.
Wow.
Yeah, I
okay.
Yeah, well, but that's okay. But now, so do you see how even with the my father planting that seed,
mm-hmm.
even started at the age of 5 with the Mustang horse.
Yeah.
And then I have a photo of me on the horse and me sitting in the Mustang that I designed.
Yes.
And it's
my goodness.
Blessings are still constantly. And I think the last Hyatt fight was when I was invited to the British Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
I did a youth symposium there and also special guest of the White House to meet the president and his staff.
Yeah, so more international touring and speaking.
Yes.
This is The Beat. I'm Mike Weston with News, Opinion, and Culture, available wherever you podcast and thebeatmedia.com. Our guest is Emmaline King, transportation designer and motivation to many people. She has spent her career designing cars. And Emmaline, I wanted to get back. You mentioned McKinley Thompson, who was one of the first black, first black designers at Ford, correct?
Yeah, he's the first black. I guess all over. He's the first black male transportation designer.
Yes.
And it so happened that I had met him even before being hired in. Because remember I told you my father introduced me to modelers, engineers, and car designers.
Yeah.
And they mentored me.
Mm-hmm.
They mentored me.
So that's
prior to even working at Ford.
So this is right. This is informally. And so McKinley Thompson, I believe around 56 is when he started. So you mentioned there is a lot of community, be it black designers, your father, Ford workers that helped kind of mold you before.
Yeah.
This is why you were, a youth in school and going forward that really gave you a foundation and helped prepare you
for
that.
Many days. I would spend, I'd take a couple of hours, I would go over to their homes and they would show me exactly. I mean, you have to do it like this, these dimensions for a car and be creative. But, and I think the secret is nature. I had the opportunity to meet this famous, world-known designer, Mr. Luigi Galani. I think he was from Sweden,
mm-hmm.
and this was while I was at Ford, and he came there. He brought all these weird looking vehicles. You know, they looked like ladybugs, all kinds. And I had a talk with him. And I told him, just started working at Ford and my first black female car designer. And he looked at me and he said, "Respect nature."
Okay.
When
now,
it comes to design.
Wow. And so we hear many artists who get their inspiration from nature, natural things.
Yes.
Even we can look at the Mustang. It comes from nature.
Thoroughbred horse.
Yeah.
And that's what you look at. Yeah. Because the majority of work that I did was the interior, but also I did, a few components on the outside as well. And it's very special that we kept what is known as your Mustang cues to make it just to be a Mustang. You know, a lot of time I would talk with marketing groups like female marketing groups, Mustang owners. And the main thing was keep the essence of the Mustang. And there were certain cues, you would have the scoop on the side. You would have the pony in the running in the grill. And it just has the stamina of looking like a thoroughbred horse.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, stay close to nature. Now, Emmaline, I wanted to go back throughout your career as a transportation designer. there are so many highlights. Was there any point in time where you thought, this is tough? Or were there any gender issues or racial issues that ever discouraged you throughout your career as a designer?
Well, I remember one time, you know, when you have your performance reviews, and the executive at that time, just out of respect, would never mention the name, but, you know, the executive was from Europe, and he was giving me my performance review. And I went into his office, and the office was really no bigger than a closet, if I might say. So, you know, it was like all the performance reviews, you know, it would never give me an excellent, would never give me an excellent plus, maybe like an unsatisfactory, something like this. And so I asked him, I said, why did you grade me so low when my concept designs, they went into production or whatever assignment I had to do, I'd make sure I would do 100%. It got so bad where I must have hit a nerve. And I said, you know, why is it that I'm being treated like this? And for some reason, he looked at me, he said, because nobody wants you on their team. And he was just spilling the beans. He was saying, like, we sit in our meeting, and when your name come up, we just pass it on down. And I looked at him, and, you know, I could have burst out into tears, but I had to get to my office, which was the women's bathroom where I would do my crying. Mm-hmm. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm going to excuse myself for 1 minute, and then I'll come back. So I got myself together. I came back, and I looked at him, and I said, I want to thank you for revealing what had been bottled up inside, behind closed doors. So now I know. I said, it just gives me more fuel to do even better.
Yeah.
To do even better. That was really tough. And then the time when they start hiring in other females they didn't come in as transportation design, maybe product designers, but to see them come in for a short while and then to be promoted. Mm. And it's like everyone who was being promoted, I had the most seniority. I had done at least 3 foreign assignments. Yeah. And my concepts were making it into production.
Yeah, yeah.
So I still had that, but it wasn't enough for, you know, it didn't make me want to throw in the towel.
This is The Beat. I'm Mike Wesson with news, opinion, and culture, available wherever you podcast and thebeatmedia.com. Our guest is Emmaline King, transportation designer. And Emmaline, I have to ask you now, with all, you mentioned a Cadillac that was inspirational to you. And Emmaline, can you name just some of your favorite cars, maybe 3 or 4 of your favorite cars all time?
3 of my favorite cars. Okay. Well, definitely the 94 Mustang.
Yes.
I also worked on the 89 Thunderbird.
Okay.
Let's see. My other favorite is the 2008 Vonderplas. It was my mom's, and she gifted that to me.
What was it?
2008 Vonderplas Jaguar.
Okay.
And then, like I said, the 89 Thunderbird, that was like the first vehicle, and I designed the interior components and the entire wheel program for the 89 Thunderbird.
Awesome. So,
and then yes.
Emmaline, sometimes people have a something they do, they moonlight in a different career or different avenue that may not be their full-time job, but it's something they enjoy doing. They may or may not get paid for it. Is there something that Emmaline would do if we stopped using cars and had to take another form of transportation? Is there something Emmaline might do instead or alongside designing cars?
Well, Besides designing cars?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I guess my other hobby, which I've made a profession, I'm a saxophonist. My father was a jazz saxophonist. And still at that tender age of 11, I would often sit by the vent and listen to him practice, him and his band. And it was one evening, Daddy decided to come up and practice in the living room. Mm-hmm. And he was playing. And he would always kind of challenge me. And he said, "Lenny girl, I bet you can't play this saxophone." He didn't know how many times I sat by that bench listening to those melodic sounds. I took the horn. Now, I wasn't sounding like no John Coltrane, but there was talent. And so from then, I started playing, professionally. So I ended up playing the alto, the tenor, and soprano. And like I said, my father was such a big influence.
Yeah.
And my mother was an educator. So, you know, those skills I definitely had to take a special interest. So in the music field.
Yes.
You know, if it wasn't cars, in the music field.
It would have been music. So it sounds like if you want Emmeline to do something, just tell her she can't. I bet you can't play that saxophone.
That's all I need to hear. Yes. Someone say, "You can't do that."
Well, you...
Oh, I need to share this thing, which is, oh my God, how faith would have it.
Uh-huh.
All right. During the time when I was chairman over the career day at our church, and I invited all these different professionals, I got word that my instructor... he had retired, and he was making Christmas lights. I think, LED Christmas bulbs. And so I invited him. And on the stage, I had brought in a lot of work from Ford and little clay models and pictures of cars. And so he said, "Well, Emily, I need to display my Christmas lights." And I told him, "I have a perfect spot for you." I said, "I need you to put your display right there on the stage." He said, "Well, you know, all these car designs and all this." He said, "I wonder who did these fabulous drawings and stuff like that." And that's when I revealed to him that I'm the little girl that you said will never become a car designer and that girls can't design cars. But I said, "I want to thank you for igniting that catalyst that just gave me the urge to know that when people tell me I can't, that I can show them that I can."
Wow. Full circle. What was the reaction to that? What was the reaction?
He looked at me and he had the biggest smile. Wow. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing that. And I guess at that time, you know, he was so stuck on this male chauvinist, he couldn't really see that here was a little girl that brought in her work.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't Picasso, but there was potential.
I might use that. It's not Picasso, but it's potential.
It's potential. And so, you know, him telling me that, and like the classroom just erupted in laughter. But it didn't disturb me because I knew my backbone was my dad and the mentors.
Yeah.
And my dad had told me and probably said, "I will support you all the way." And when I look at it, he did. Unfortunately, my father passed about 2 years ago. And he didn't live to see me receive the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award from President Biden. But everything, and then when I got the book, he got the first copy. He had the biggest smile. I know this. One other thing that was a special highlight.
Mm-hmm.
During the time when I was working on the Mustang, one of the photographers went in my father's department, and he was there working late on a special project. And some of the coworkers asked him, "Well, what are you working on?" And he had the smile. He said, "I am working on the car that my daughter designed."
Proud.
And I have a beautiful 8x10 of him working on doing the mole for the Mustang. Isn't that something?
That is a beautiful dad moment. I guess no one could tell him much of anything at that point.
His chest was so proud. And a lot of times when we go to different events, I was featured as a guest speaker for the Detroit Institute of Art. It was automotive from the 1920s to the 2020s.
Uh-huh.
And it was a receptionist. And my dad carried his briefcase. In his briefcase, he had my books. So we're sitting down at the table, and like all the dignitaries were there, Edsel Ford and was there, and other officials. And so I'm sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, like I said, I am a Christian, mm-hmm. and follow the Holy Spirit. It said, take one of those books, autograph that book, go share your story with Mr. Edsel Ford. So I walk over to there. I introduce myself. I tell him who I am, and I told him I'd like to gift him this autographed copy of my story.
Yeah.
He was so impressed. He said, oh, my. He said, the president of his museum, the Henry Ford Museum, is here. He said, I will make sure my copy is in the archive.
Yes.
And about a week later, I received a letter that they were so honored to have a product of this black young lady's achievement she has made in the art industry, and that it will go down in history, and that
wow.
book is now there for generations and generations of males and females to read and to know. In the city of Detroit, Motor City, this little girl who had a dream of wanting to become a car designer, worked for Ford designing cars with her father, and to almost be like the mother of the interior for the Mustang.
Mm.
Oh,
wow.
Her story is here. Isn't that something?
That is awesome, because he not only said it and expressed it, but made sure there was something to document and show that for generations to come. Beautiful.
Generations to come.
This is The Beat with Mike Wesson. Listen wherever you podcast and thebeatmedia.com. The Beat is an open mic production.